that so much. Jeremiah 29, verse 10, "For thus saith the Lord, that after..." Now, did you catch that? This wasn't Jeremiah just talking. It said, "Thus saith the Lord." I'll tell you what, church, if we ever needed to hear in this last day from the Lord, it's in this day and hour. We need to hear what God has to say. Books are good, textbooks are fine, commentaries are all right, but we need to hear what thus saith the Lord. I pray that when I hit this pulpit each time, I've got a message from God. I've got a message that God wants us to hear. Amen. Feel that this morning. "Thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you." Oh, I'm glad for that. "I'll visit you and perform my good work toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." Praise God. You may be seated this morning. Amen. I don't know if you visited a Christian bookstore lately. Brother Bill Rawson's been there several days this past week. He works at one. And I know there's quite a variety of books there and different teachings and different subjects. The Christian bookstores I've been in, for the most part, have quite a few books on a particular subject. And then on another subject, there's very few books to be found at all. In fact, I challenge you to find a good book in a Christian bookstore written on old time holiness. They're very, very few and far between. In fact, today's view and definition of holiness is far different from what I was raised with and what I believe to be God's Word. Amen? Well, there's books, a lot of books. There's several books on prosperity. And I know I come down pretty hard on the faith movement. This is a movement that teaches that by the confession of your mouth, that which you speak is what will become, and that you can actually move the hand of God and command God to do what you say. Well, I don't believe that is scriptural whatsoever. And there's a lot of books written by men of the faith movement, books like How to Live Worry-Free, How to Possess the Land, How to Receive God's Best, How to Write Your Own Ticket with God, How to Activate God's Power, How to Be a Success in Life, How to Fulfill Your Divine Destiny in Your Role and Success in Prosperity. And many of these faith teachers have stated that sickness is of the devil. And if you have sickness in your body, then you have sin in your life. They also go to great lengths to prove that you should only speak positive things, and that if you're sick, you should confess that you are healed, even though the symptoms persist. To say that you're not healed, to them, is a negative statement. And to say that, you are actually sinning. Hear me this morning for just a little while. I want to preach on the way God does things, not the way man does things. Amen. Now, if you're sick, you're sick. You're not healed until you are healed. I'm not going to take a lot of time to refute that doctrine, but I'm not going to get off on a hobby horse and chase this squirrel down the path. I'm just going to let you know right from the get-go, amen, there are blessings and promises that God gives to us as believers, amen, and some of them are present and some of them are future. Some of them we have not attained yet. Some of them we shall attain. Praise God. Some of them we've already attained. Hallelujah. Glad for that. Amen. I've come to preach to you this morning on the way that God does things. We're very familiar with a prayer that has been promoted in the Christian arena. That is the prayer of Jabez. 1 Chronicles 4:10 says, "Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Listen, and God granted him that which he requested. God has a unique plan for everybody's life. God has a blessing for your life. He has a purpose and a plan for your life. I want you to notice something about Jabez's life. It says in the preceding verse of what we just read in verse 9 of 1 Chronicles 4, that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. There was a reason why God answered Jabez's request. Secondly, I want you to notice that God just didn't hand it on a silver platter, but rather Jabez called on the God of Israel. He prayed. Did you hear me? He prayed, and God answered his request. How did he request it? He prayed. How did he get God to move on his particular petition? He petitioned the Lord. He prayed. He sought God. He didn't command God to do anything. He didn't force the Lord to do anything. He prayed. He requested it in prayer. Very good preacher friend of mine sent me a newsletter this week. He sends them out periodically, and he told the story of a lady who had come down several years ago with lupus disease. And that disease had paralyzed her from her neck down. Her husband, who was a former evangelist, had forsaken her, and she was committed into a nursing home. This woman, however, had always been a great woman of faith. And even though she was now in a physical limitation, even though she was greatly afflicted, yet her faith went unwavered. Everyone that went to visit her was encouraged by the visit. They left encouraged by her. You'd go to visit her and she'd be an encouragement to them, and they loved to visit with her. Well, one day there was some folks from the faith movement that began to visit her and persuaded her that she should confess her healing as a fact, and that the power of her confession with that would come evidence of her healing. She began to accept this doctrine, and to bolster her faith, she was also prophesied over, and a prophecy was given that she would receive the reward of her faith and her positive confession on New Year's Eve at the watch night service at this particular church. This brought much anticipation to the community, and a lot of nurses and acquaintances and families gathered on that New Year's Eve service at this church. She came wheeled in a wheelchair, and as they approached midnight, her positive confession and faith were not rewarded as prophesied. Another prophecy was given that those present, if they would pray 1 hour, that God would heal this lady. An hour came and went, and still no healing. To save face, it was declared that she did not have enough faith to believe that she would be healed, and she was wheeled back to the nursing home in the same condition she came out of. Those who had seduced her quickly forsook her, leaving her in confusion, disappointment, and personal shame. The preacher friend of mine, good friend, visited her some time later and encouraged her to trust God and believe His Word. And in the middle of his conversation, she blurted out, "Preacher, I don't even know if I'm saved anymore." She had been robbed of an unwavering faith. The disappointment of not being healed and being told it was because she didn't have enough faith to believe God for her healing destroyed the precious faith that she had. I don't remember if Brother Mickey and Sister Nisha were in this service, but they'll know who I'm talking about. When we pastored in Arizona, a Brother Miles' mother, Sister Dunham, and her husband, Brother Dunham, Brother Miles' stepfather, had kept 2 or 3 ladies that they took care of, elderly ladies. One of them was named Sister Christine. Sister Christine was a Methodist, And she surprised us one night. We had a singspiration. It was the only time I ever had one. Probably never have one again. If you like them, that's fine. It's just not my forte. But we had a singspiration. What it involves is anybody and everybody that wants to sing can come up and sing. And so she surprised us all, this sister Christine did, by coming forward and singing. And when she did, she had a beautiful voice, but we couldn't follow her because she was singing opera. And it shocked us all. There's something about Sister Christine, you also need to know she was blind. Well, one service we had an evangelist come through, a young man. We didn't know him, but he came upon personal recommendation from a relative of ours. He actually preached a great message. But when the altar call came, it was soon evidenced in his style that he was one of, or had been around or exposed to, this faith movement. Now, some of you don't understand what I'm saying when I talk about faith movement, so I'm going to explain it just a little bit. There is a large movement in the United States of America that teach doctrines that are almost cultish in the fact that, understand what a cult is. A cult is a group of fanatical believers who take a certain amount of truth and either use that and divert or twist the rest of it to where God's word does not really matter. A cult is something like Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons or Christian Scientists. Those are classified as cults as far as Christendom is concerned. Paul said, though we or an angel preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. And folks, there's a lot of folks, there's a lot of preachers, a lot of churches in this faith movement across America that are preaching another doctrine that is not found in the work of God, in the word of the Lord. I'm talking about the Toronto Blessing. I'm talking about some of these famous revivals that have gone on in the name of Christianity that are nothing more than a man-made manifestation. Hear me this morning. I'm taking a little time here to tell you that we really need to be careful about what we believe and why we believe it. And we ought not leave anything out of the Word of God. Amen. And so this woman come up to be prayed for. And this young evangelist told her that if you will confess with your mouth that you're going to be healed, you will be healed. She did. We prayed. And then he stopped us all from praying. Everybody stopped praying. We stopped. And he pointed to this woman who was standing right in front of her and said, "Sister, you now can see." And she said, "I can't see a lick." She was from Arkansas and really had a hick accent. Ida, no offense there. But she said, "I can't see a lick." He said, "Well, let's pray again." And he prayed again and she confessed with her mouth. And he stopped everybody from praying. By this time, he'd already turned off half the church. And he stopped everybody from praying and said, "Now you can see." And she said, "I can't see nothing." He said, "So let's pray another time." And he prayed the third time. Laid hands on her. She confessed with her mouth. He stopped everybody from praying. By that time, there wasn't a whole lot of people praying anymore. Everybody was kind of had their arms folded, wondering what in the world's going to happen next. And then he said to her, "Now you can see." And she said, "Sir, I can't see nothing." And he said, "It is the lack of faith of the people you are staying with and taking care of you is the reason why you're not healed." I saw Brother and Sister Dunham, mouth drop open. My mouth dropped open. I was a young pastor. And I let the clown stay and through the entire rest of the service. But if it had to happen today and if it had to happen this morning, I guarantee you that I'd have had his ear. I would have been hauling him out the door and sending him on down the road. No offering, no goodbye, just a good riddance. And don't come back, Jack. You hear me? There is a lot of foolishness that goes on in the name of Christianity. And do you understand? Christine, I don't think she really understood fully what was taking place. In fact, Pentecostalism was fairly new to her. But thank God her faith wasn't destroyed by some foolish man with a twisted interpretation of the Word of God concerning faith. Now listen, church, without faith it is impossible to please God. God gives to every man a measure of faith. I'm not against faith. I'm not against healing. In fact, I preach it. I believe it. I have experienced it. And you have too. But I'm preaching to you this morning, that's not the way that God does things. There's a lot of foolishness going on in the name of Pentecostalism with this neo-Pentecostal church and the faith movement and the charismatic church that is not of God and needs to be exposed for what it is. There's a lot of people that are going to a devil's hell because their faith has been destroyed by some idiot that has gotten up and said, you're healed, when in fact they're not. I feel like preaching to you this morning. That's not the way God does things. Hey man, God doesn't have a man blow in a microphone or swing his jacket across the congregation. Hey man, that's not how God works. He doesn't have him roll in Holy Ghost glue and bark like dogs and meow like cats and run like chickens. That ain't the way God does things. God is an orderly God. He is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. I want you to understand, God has an order and God has a plan. And some of you and some of this world has been disillusioned by this movement that has come out of Tulsa and other places that have done nothing more but to damage the cause of the ministry. I'm preaching to you this morning, God has a plan and He has a way, and His ways are higher than our ways, and man sometimes can't even understand it. Amen. Some of you this morning, your faith has been sorely tried. And the waves have smashed against your vessel. And the enemy has come in like a flood. And it'd be very easy to reach out to somebody that would say, you don't have any problems, all you need is faith in God. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, we do have problems. Somebody shout glory. I don't like them, and neither do you, but we still have them. Some of you have physical problems. Amen. Some of you have family problems. Some of you have personal problems. Some of you are going through some trials unlike you've ever been through before. I'm preaching to you, God has a purpose for it. He has a plan for it. You may not understand it right now, but you'll understand it better by and by. You'll know God's purpose when it is revealed, and it will always be for His glory and for His honor. Amen. Let's go back to our text this morning. Jeremiah 29, 10 through 14, there's a sequence here to this story. We find that God has prophesied to Israel. They're in captivity at this time. They're in Babylon. They're gone from home. They are enslaved. If you think you got problems, they are in a serious dilemma. But God in His mercy speaks through the prophet. And Jeremiah prophesies and says, thus saith the Lord. Whew. I'm sure glad for the times when God comes by and I know He's speaking to me personally. Oh yes! I'm glad for the times God just speaks to my heart and I know it's not the devil. I know it's not my own feelings. I know it's just not emotionalism. I know His voice. I've heard Him speak times before, and I know when He says, thus saith the Lord. And the Israelites heard, thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you. Listen. There was a time period involved here. Amen. There was a period of time they still had to go through. God wasn't delivering them tomorrow. He wasn't delivering them today. There's still a time period from when God spoke this and Jeremiah prophesied to the time it actually happened. Amen. He said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. They're thoughts of peace, not of evil. God doesn't desire to give us bad things. Amen.
Amen. Jesus said in Mark 7 and verse 9, "Or what man is there of you whom, if the son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" James said, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Amen. It said in verse 11 of Jeremiah, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace." God's plan for you includes thoughts of peace. God's plan for you is thoughts that will help you and will bless you and will be able to prosper you. He said to give you an expected end. Praise God. There was a young girl that was raised in a very, very strict home. In fact, that home, the name of God was used as a leverage tool to instill fear and turmoil in this young girl's life. The name of God was only used to bring terror and to frighten her. And she grew up in that atmosphere. One day, she went into her father's office, and on the floor she found a scrap of paper. And that paper had the words written on it, "God so loved the world that He gave." And the rest of it was tore off. She took that scrap back to her room, and she began to think about that, for the only time she'd heard of God was that which filled her heart with terror. He was an unjust judge. He was a God who was vengeful. He was God who was harmful. And the only time she'd ever heard of God was in a negative connotation. But the Spirit of the Lord began to deal with her about God so loved the world that He gave. She didn't know what He gave, but she got to figuring, if God loved the world that He gave something, He must have loved, and therefore He must be a God of love. And can I tell you, the Spirit of God got a hold of her heart and began to convict her, and she called upon the Lord, God whom she had feared and whom had filled her heart with terror. That same God came to her as a God of love and encompassed her, and she began to know Him in an intimate way. Oh yes, that God, her perception of Him had turned to one of love from one of terror. Oh listen, God is a just God. He is a God of righteousness. God does hate sin, but He loves the sinner. Amen. And God loves mankind in so much that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for the ungodly. He died for the sinner man in order that we might be reconciled to Him. Great is His love. Amen. And even more so, He loves His children. Hallelujah. So your question this morning may be something like this. If God is so desirous to give us good gifts, if every perfect gift cometh down from heaven above, then why am I going through what I'm going through? We've all been there. We've all asked that question. We've all had some doubts enter into our mind. Why am I facing this great trial? Again, if the Lord has a plan for you, do you believe that this morning? You believe God's got a plan for your life? If you really believe that, then why are you going through what you're going through? Why are you facing the trial? Why are you facing the disappointment? Why are you bombarded with this atrocity? Why are you going through this? Because that's the way God does things. Don't fall out with me right here, right now. Amen. I know we view God as a heavenly Father, and sometimes we make a parallel Of I being a father, would I treat my daughter that way that God treats His children? Some of you have said the very same thing. But understand, God is not an earthly father. He's a heavenly father. And just as I can't see the future, I can hope and I can plan and I can try to make and mark the course to where the future unfolds in a certain direction. But I really don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I really don't know what God's plan is for tomorrow. Amen. But He does. And that's why He's God. And that's why God does things His way. Look at this passage in Scripture here, this context. The Israelites, they received a great promise from God. Listen, if you were in captivity for 70 years and the prophet prophesied and said, God said you're going to go home, wouldn't you be excited? Amen. You're fixing to go home. You're going to be released. Read in the newspaper this last week, there was a man that had been in prison, I think, 4 or 5 years already on a charge. And because of DNA evidence that had just been discovered, it was found out that he was not the one who was the perpetrator. And he was released from prison. Already spent 4 or 5 years in there. 25. Aren't you glad to go back home? I can just imagine that man coming out of that prison bar, walking out of that prison. I don't think he was moping. I don't think he was just, you know, oh, I'm so sad to leave this place. Hello. I just wished I could stay here a little while. The food is so good. Come on. Amen. You know what he was doing when he was coming out? I dare say he had a smile on his face. Yes, he was disappointed that justice had not gone the way it should have. But he was free. And here's the Israelites. They've been in bondage, fixing to go on 70 years. They've been captive. They've been forced to do things they normally wouldn't have to do. And now God speaks. And God says, I want to bring you back home. I say, they're rejoicing now. Amen. Has it taken place yet? No, but it's fixing to because God said so. And that's the way God does things. Man, I feel like preaching. Hallelujah. That's the way God does things. And so here's the Israelites. Jeremiah prophesied. Amen. The Lord would keep His word. Listen, this is what God instructed them to do. They were to pray. The Lord would keep His word to them after they fervently prayed for His promise to be fulfilled. I want you to hear what I'm fixing to say. Many Christians fail to call on God because they don't understand the need to fervently pray for His promise to be fulfilled. Hear me. God's already promised it. Why pray? Because that's the way God does it. Hallelujah. Let's go back to the promise of healing. James 5, 14, 15 says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall, what? Save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if we have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Do you believe in the promise of healing? Do you really believe that? How many of you have been healed by God? Put your hand up high. Wow. 90% of us have had a healing by God personally. I'm not talking about the boy in Lorraine. I'm not talking about the crutches thrown. I'm not talking about the blinded eyes that were opened down in Alabama. I'm talking about personal healing. God has touched us personally. Woo! Amen. So we believe in healing. How many of you prayed for healing and were not healed instantaneously, but there was a period of time involved? Let me see your hand. How many of you were healed instantaneously? Woo! You say, well, which is it, brother? Is it progressive healing or is it instantaneous healing? It's whichever way God chooses because that's the way God does it. Whew.
I'm feeling better. Hallelujah.
What happened here first? They were to pray, and then the promise would come. In the last passage we read in James chapter 5, it says that the Lord shall raise up the sick. God will heal them. But what happens first before God heals?
They called for the elders of the church, and they what? They prayed the prayer of faith. You hear me?
The prayer of faith. Whose prayer? The prayer of the faithful. Whose prayer? Your prayer. Whose prayer? The church's prayer. Whose prayer? The elders' prayer. The saints prayed. And God moved. That's the way God does things. Amen. Even though we believe God has plans for us and promises for us, sometimes we don't realize that God wants us to petition Him for the very things that He's already told us is fixing to happen. Let me talk to you here for a moment. Let's say this morning that God spoke to us in tongues and interpretation. And the Lord said, I will send revival to this church in 2 weeks' time. That means 2 weeks from Sunday, we're going to have revival. We're going to experience a revival. We're going to have a breakthrough. And all of us are encouraged and we're just looking forward to it. But listen. God doesn't want us just to go home and continue on our daily activities without doing something about what's fixing to take place. We've already heard from the Lord. He said, I'm going to send you revival. Amen. And if we believe that, revival is going to come. But God also wants us to do something about it. He wants us to pray. He wants us to petition Him that revival will come. That's where the faith movement says you're sinning. If God already said it, if He's already promised it, it's sin for you to ask Him again. You are not trusting God by continually petitioning Him, is what they say. All right? The man that Jesus touched, you remember he was blind? And Jesus spit in the dirt and the mud. He took that and put it on his eyes. And then he asked the man, he said, can you see? And the man said, I see men as trees. Was he totally healed? Could he totally see? Was he partially healed? Yes. And what did Jesus do again? He prayed for him again. He touched him again the second time. The faith movement falls out with that. Amen. He did it the second time. And he finally could see. Hallelujah! Amen. What about in the Old Testament? Amen. When the boy was sick or died of a headache or fell dead on his mama's lap and the prophet of God came and laid himself across him. Was he healed instantly? Was he brought back to life instantly? No, it was a process. Amen. But that's the way God does things. There are times of instant healing and there's times when it takes months. But God's still God nevertheless. Amen, amen. Do you see the way God does things? Even though we believe He's got a plan for us, even though we believe He's going to heal us, or He's going to touch us, or He's going to use us, or He's going to give us a ministry, amen, we have got to pray. Amen, we need to petition the Lord. Martin Luther boldly declared, God does nothing but an answer to prayer. And all through history, God has dealt with His people about revival. And every revival in history came on the heels of people who prayed and were hungry and sought God. Amen. Azusa Street came because of a Bonnie Bray prayer meeting in a cottage. Could I tell you that every revival we've ever seen in this land has come on the heels of prayer? Just because God said, I will pour out my Spirit in the last days upon all flesh does not give us a license to sit back and just wait for it, but we're to tarry and pray in the upper room. God promised that He'd pour out His Spirit. Amen. He said, tarry until you be endued with power from on high. What does it say in verse 14? It said of Acts chapter 1 verse 14, these all continue continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Amen. Could I tell you that if we're going to see God move, it's going to be because people are praying and seeking God with all of their heart. Amen. That's the way God does things. The very reason some of you struggle and have not have overcoming victory in your lives, listen, is because you have a very limited or non-existent prayer life. You know I'm preaching right. Say amen or oh me. The very reason we struggle as Christians is because we do not pray like we need to. Don't everybody shout at once now. You know I'm telling you right. The very reason we are not overcoming is because we lack a prayer life. Listen, I ain't talking about the lay me down to sleep prayers. I'm not talking about praying over our meal. We ought to be doing that anyhow. I'm talking about a time of prayer on a daily basis other than Sunday night, Sunday morning, and Wednesday night of getting a hold of God. I'm convinced if some of you put more effort in your prayer life as you do in other things, that God would do shocking things in your life in response to your desire to pray. I'm convinced of that. Amen. That's the way God does things. Amen. Now, there's times in our life when good faith-driven people, when God called good faith-filled Christians, when we do go through some momentous things in our life. Hear me. Amen. Sometimes the trials we face suddenly mushroom into an unmovable mountain. And we face that mountain, and it just seems that it's forever stretching towards the sky. We can't get over it. We can't get around it. And we've come to a standstill. If you will, we've almost come to a stalemate. Amen. We've come to a point. Some haven't felt God in some time. Others are blessed. Others are feeling the Lord. And yet you're at a point in your life. Is it because you're not praying? Amen. I don't believe some, amen, have prayed enough. But I know some of you have sought God. And you're absolutely at a block and you don't know what to do or where to go. Amen. When you get to that place, it ought to do one. It's going to do one or two things. It's going to push you away from God, or it's going to push you closer to God. It's going to draw you deeper in prayer is what it's supposed to do. That's the way God does things. Amen. That's how God moves. Say, I don't understand that. Why do I have to go through this trial? Because that's the way God does things. And if anything, it ought to push us deeper into prayer. Amen. And so, let me address this here this morning for a few more minutes. These experiences should always cause us to go deeper in prayer. The first challenge is this. You have got to believe that God can do anything. Even give you wisdom to get keys out of your car that's locked in. Gives you wisdom to buy a car with a sunroof. So you get in there, get the keys out. You've got to believe that God can do anything. Anything. I don't want to draw this out this morning, but I'm sure feeling preachified. You've got to believe that God, Brother Craig, can do anything. Now, brother, you and I have got limitations. Don't shout now. Sister Tina ain't here to shout with you. We've got limitations, but God has no limitations. There's some places fishing we may not be able to get to, but God can get to them all. There's some things we cannot accomplish, but God can do it all. Do you believe God can do anything this morning? Do you believe nothing's impossible with God? Do you believe that God can do absolutely anything He desires to do? Do you believe that? Oh, when you're in the trial, sometimes it's hard to believe that. When you're in the trial and you're facing that wall and that mountain's there, sometimes it's hard to believe that God can... But all He has to do is just speak and that mountain could be removed. All He has to do is just push His finger. It's just utter a word. Just whisper. Just blow His breath from heaven towards earth. And God could move an impossible mountain. Amen, amen. And that's the way God does things. Amen. Secondly, the second challenge we have to overcome, the first one is we've got to believe that God can do anything. The second challenge we have to overcome is the challenge of waiting. We become spiritually fatigued in our waiting. The very thing that'll help you to cope with this is this. If you don't remember anything else what I preached this morning, remember this. Who are you praying to? Are we praying to an angel that was created? No. Are we praying to Mary, the mother of Jesus? No. Are we praying to just an invisible force? No. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. Sometimes we have to go to Scripture to remind us of who we're praying to. Isaiah 40, 12 says, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance?" Verse 15, "Behold, the nations," listen, "are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles in a very little thing." Verse 22, "It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heaven as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in." We're talking about God. Verse 26, "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by the names of the greatness of His might. For He is strong in power, for not one faileth." Over in Psalms 147, verse number 2, it says, "The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healed the broken in heart. He bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars by names. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and great of power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise unto the harp unto our God, who covereth the heavens with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens that cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy." In your waiting, sometimes it pays to go back and recall who we're waiting on, who we're praying to. This is the God of the universe. This is the God that stretches the heavens out. This is the God that places the stars in their place and calls them by name. Sometimes we just have to recall who we're praying to. We're not praying to a dead God. We're not praying to a God on vacation. We're praying to the God Jehovah. We're praying to God El Shaddai. We're praying to God Jehovah Rissi. The Lord is my banner. Jehovah Rapha. The Lord is my provider. Amen. He's my healer. Amen. We've got to remember who we're praying to, who we're waiting on, because that's the way God does things. The story is told of a young girl named Farah. Farah was born in Haiti. Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Farah, her mother left for America shortly after she was born. Her new stepmom and father took care of her. I say they took care of her. She barely existed. From 6 years of age on, she was sexually molested by the stepmother's brother and other male figures that boarded in that home in Haiti. She kept to herself. One day, her father went off to work and he never returned home. She was shipped off to her grandmother, and there she was continually sexually abused. Finally, at the age of 10, she came to live in America with her mother, and her mother was living with another man. They had a child, and that child was regarded in higher liking than Pharaoh was. Pharaoh was an outcast. Pharaoh was not taken care of properly. At the age of 12, Pharaoh had succeeded in school, liked school. It was almost a place of escape for her. But there was a security guard that became interested in Pharaoh and started walking her home, started being a friend to her. And the knight in shining armor that Pharaoh thought had come to rescue her turned out to be a 36-year-old sexual predator. The mother was opposed to this newfound relationship, and she shipped Pharaoh off to Florida to live with her father. She finally opened up and told her father of her past abuse, only to be further abused by him. Back to New York she went to stay with her mother, caught up again in this relationship with the same security guard. In that meantime, she found a new friend, a Christian. This friend invited her to church many, many, many times, and she refused. Finally, one day, she decided to go. She went. She felt the love of God. She felt the presence of the Lord dealing with her. But she had such a dark hold on her life. She also had a child out of wedlock. She miscarried, and about a year later, a year and a half or so, she became pregnant again and had a baby girl at the age of 19. Finally, this time she went to church and she cried out for God's mercy, and God gloriously saved her. Pharaoh found something she had lacked all of her life. Praise God. But she had a lot of baggage. She had a lot of problems to deal with. She had a lot of things she had to get through. One of the things was this continued relationship with this security guard. She'd not told the authorities about it. And it was a temptation to her. And she fell to it again, and she became expecting with her second child. Finally, she came to the pastor in sorrow and repentiveness and frustration. She asked him if he couldn't help her. The church had already helped her and helped her get into a place, help her get established. And here she now was, two children, one on the way. And the pastor knew of a ministry in an out-of-state area that took in women, mothers with children and problems and pressures. And he called up this man and told him about Pharaoh. And the man said, "When can you bring her? We'll take her." So she went out of state to this place. And a year later, this pastor that had helped her initially had the opportunity to preach in that particular state. In fact, at the same church that Pharaoh was now attending. He walked in that night in the service and he saw her. And before he had a chance to say anything to her, she came up and asked him, "Pastor, would you dedicate my son to the Lord?" I want to read you a direct quote of what he wrote. He said, "No one in the congregation could understand the emotion I felt as I held that baby in my arms and lifted my voice to God. As I prayed, Pharaoh stood with her hands held high in worship, thanking the one who had done so much for her. It was all too much for me. I wept aloud and unashamedly." Amen. Because of what God had done in Pharaoh's life. Amen. She knew there was no limit to the power of God. God wants you to know His answers are worth waiting for. Did you hear me? His answers are worth waiting for. Psalm 62:5, David said, "My soul Wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Isaiah 49:15, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, but God said, I will not forget thee. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isaiah 64:4, from the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what He hath prepared for him, listen, that waiteth for him. Amen. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Remember that long waits usually occur right before the biggest mountain is removed. Some of you aren't awake this morning. Did you hear me? I said sometimes the longest waits are right before the greatest mountains are fixing to be removed. Some of you have been waiting a good long while. You've been waiting on the Lord for that answer of prayer. Wait on. Wait on God. Because that's how God does it. That's how God does it. Amen. We don't understand it, but that's God's ways. And His ways are higher than our ways. You may not understand it, but just wait on the Lord, because He'll bring it to pass as He's promised. Hallelujah! It ain't no devil in hell can convince you otherwise. When you've got your foot on that rock, amen, you can say like the songwriter, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. I'm telling you, He is our provider. I shall not be moved. He is my healer. I shall not be moved. Amen. Why? Why should we wait? Because that's God's ways. Lord spoke to my heart this week about an area, about something. And all week long, I've had such an anticipation of what God was going to do in this Sunday morning service. I did. And I still have it. And we're fixing to have a prayer line this morning. We're fixing to believe God for some things that some of you have been praying about a long time. And some of you, I believe God's going to bring it to pass today. But some of you, hear me, are still going to be waiting. And I don't want you to come back tonight with a mentality or a thought, why did God heal Brother Mickey? And why hasn't He healed me? Why has God answered Sister Gus's prayer, but He hasn't answered mine? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Holy, holy, holy.
They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to... Some of you is getting faint in the battle. Wait on the Lord. Some of you is getting a little weary. Keep waiting on the Lord. You keep praying. You stay true to God. God ain't going to leave you. God's not going to drop you. There's some insurances that after you have a wreck or two, they cancel your insurance policy. God doesn't work that way. Some of you have had more than a wreck or two, and He's still merciful. And the premium's still the same. Just pray. That's what some of you need to do this morning. Just continue praying. I feel like somebody's going to get help today. And it could be you. So when you come up here to stand, or sit if you have to, you come up here for that specific need. I don't want you to come with that thought, well, it'll probably be a month from now, maybe a year from now. I want you to come this morning expecting God's going to touch you today, now. And if He doesn't, it could be tonight. It could be Wednesday night. It could be tomorrow. Woo! I want the board members to come this morning, elders of the church. Stand with us. Brother Foster, I'd like you to come. Hallelujah. Brother Larry, I'd like you to come. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank the Lord. I believe God's fixing to do something here. I really do. I laid awake Wednesday night into the wee hours of the morning, just thinking about. My mind was wandering. I was just thinking about how wonderful it'd be to see some of you, and I called you by name, and I was very specific. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but I'm believing for it too. You say, Brother Johnston, you just preached against faith movement and now you're acting just like them. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm fixing to petition God just like you are. You see, I don't mind you at all calling with a prayer request. In fact, I appreciate that when you call and say, Brother Johnston, I need you to pray about this. And there's a situation and somebody in my family. And you know what? And we pray. And I want you to know we pray. And we seek God. But I want to tell you, you better be praying yourself. Because you cannot depend on other people's prayers to get the answer of God for you. You're going to have to get hold of God yourself. The only excuse from that is if you're dead or unconscious. Obviously, you can't pray in those conditions. Come on now. And there are times God uses, and He uses the gifts of the Spirit, and He uses those gifts in operation in the church. And we've seen that happen in times past. And we've seen it happen recently, where God has used somebody to specifically be used in your answer of prayer. So however God wants to do it today, the difference between us and the faith movement is, they've got a formula, we don't. Yeah. They've got a formula, we don't. It isn't the confession of your mouth and the positive, none of that. God does not work that way. The way God works is His way, and sometimes He don't do it all the same way every time. There is no formula. There's no three steps. So however God wants to do it is my prayer. God, would You just do it? Alright. Alright. Beginning on this side, down this way. If you have a specific need you want prayer for, I want you to come and stand right across here. And we're going to come by and pray for you and believe God and believe the Lord. Anybody else? Come on. Shall not faint. Thank God. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Let's sing that again while you come. Praise God. Oh, they that wait upon the Lord, hallelujah, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up
with wings
as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Oh, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to
praise God. This may seem a little strange to you, but I just feel like this is what the Lord commanded me to do. And that is this. I'd like all the church to come stand around, if you will, be making your way while I give the instructions here. I feel like God's dealt with me to do this way. There are 2, 4, 6 of us up here. And I believe the Lord is going to move here this morning. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. As we pray, we're going to believe God to do the impossible. Brother Noggle, Brother Foster, I want you to begin on that end and you work this way. You start down there, and when we start, don't just start just yet. Brother Ladder, Brother Gus, I want you to start down there and I want you to work this way. Brother Larry and I'll start here and we'll work one way or the other. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, the reason I'm doing this is I don't want you to get used to the fact that it has to be the pastor to pray for your need. In fact, we could have chosen any of you to come up here. We've called for the elders of the church. Elders meaning those in positions, for the most part, those of age. We could have called any one of you. Any one of you ladies could step up here and do this. This is not just isolated to a pastoral position. God said, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So whatever your need is this morning, we're going to believe God to do it. And just because the pastor doesn't come by and pray for you, I want you to believe God. God's going to do something in your life despite who prays for you. I told you Wednesday night, that man came up, put his hand on my shoulder, and I don't know who it was. He said, God's going to bless in spite of. Oh, hallelujah. I've come here this morning to tell you God's going to bless in spite of. You hear me? God's going to bless in spite of. Amen. I've given these brothers, we don't have one bottle of oil, so I poured out oil upon a cloth, a tissue, and gave that to them to use. And that's what we're going to use this morning as we pray. Let's shoot our hands up to heaven and believe God. Everybody begin praying.